I want to greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It is a privilege to be here after coming through a day of Thanksgiving. I think it's important that we realize the privilege that we have to meet like this. There's many that cannot meet in this way. I haven't chosen to preach on Thanksgiving this morning. The subject that I'd like to look at this morning is one that is often... It's something that we're often ashamed of, but yet we often ask for it. We often offer it to others, and it usually makes us feel better, whether we do it ourselves or whether someone does it for us. It can be done in public or in private. Too many times it is done selfishly, or it can be done humbly. It's often rushed through. And we often don't take it as serious as what we should. And it's something that us as Christians cannot live without. This morning I'd like to look at our prayer life. The title is The Christian and His Prayer Life. We often forget the importance of a good, healthy prayer life. All our strength lies in prayer. It is the Christian's breath of life. Without breath, we die physically. It doesn't take but a few minutes till we die physically without breath. And without prayer, we as Christians will die spiritually. Do we truly understand the importance of a good, healthy prayer life? Neglect of private prayer is the not only does it affect our own Christian life, but it affects the strength of the church. If Satan can get us to neglect our prayer life, then he has a foothold into our lives. And without strong Christians in the church is weakened. It'd be interesting to know this morning, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, how many prayed for the service this morning? Or how many just got up this morning and went about your daily life, your daily routine this morning and got ready and came to church? We must do our part in praying for each other and for the church. What is prayer? The dictionary definition says a petition to God or a God in word or thought. It's the link between God's spirit and man's spirit. It's the link between heaven and earth, between us and God. Private prayers to pour out our heart to God is critical for a healthy Christian life. And the more time we spend with God, the more we learn to know Him and grow to be like Him. They say that you get like the people you're with. You get like the people you're around. And the more time we spend with God, the more conscientious we will be. And our daily life will show what kind of prayer life we have. Do we have a continual prayer life? Do we have that relationship with God? I'd like to look a little bit at what a prayer should or shouldn't consist of.
You can turn to Matthew 6.
And we're going to be looking at a number of passages this morning. You're welcome to turn to them. We'll just start out with Matthew 6, verses 5-8. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask.
Says,
the point I'd like to bring out here is vain repetitions. We don't have to have elegant prayers. We don't have to have vain repetitions, but rather it's a heartfelt connection between us and God. We don't need a lot of unnecessary information. We don't have to convince God of our petition or whatever it might be. We don't have to convince God. It says that he, there in verse 8, he knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. But rather he wants us to go to him with a heartfelt prayer. We just need faith that God can answer our prayers. Flip back to Matthew 21, verse 18 to 22. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. We see that it takes faith. Jesus says, if we have faith,
you shall ask in prayer, believing,
you shall receive. We must have faith that God can answer our prayers. Prayer requires more of the heart than of the tongue. Another thing, often prayers consist of thanks. Thanks to our God. In Hebrews, you can turn to Hebrews 13. In verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And there's many verses we could look at that talk about giving thanks. We'll look at one more. Turn to Ephesians 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another type of prayer would be intercessory prayer. In James 5, verses 14 to 16, it says, Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How much time do we spend in prayer for each other, for a special need in someone's life? Also look at Psalm 32, verse 5. Here we have a prayer of confession. Psalm 32, verse 5 says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. We need to keep a clear conscience before God. If we allow sin in our lives, if we don't keep that our conscience clear, that we build a wall between us and God. And it's very open. Between us and God. Turn to 1 Samuel 1, sorry. And verse 17. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked for. Here we have another type of prayer. It's a prayer of petition, asking a petition. And this is a story of Hannah praying for a child. And then we jump down to verse 27. It says, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him." So see that Hannah went to God and asked this petition. And the Lord granted her that petition. One more I'd like to look at, a prayer of worship in Psalm 95. Psalm 95, verse 6. "The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land." I'm sorry, verse 6, I got the wrong verse. "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." We see a prayer of worship. I'd like to look a little bit at why we should pray. First of all, it's one of the most, or probably the most important command in the Bible.
Thessalonians 5, verse 17, it says, "Pray without ceasing."
It is a command in the Bible. In Romans 12, verse 12, it says, "Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." Also, Mark 13, verse 33 says, "Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is." Also, Luke 21, in verse 36. "Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape these things which shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." There's many more that we could look at, references that give a command. Another reason that we should pray is that it gives us power. Prayer gives us power. Let's look at turn with me to Matthew 26. I'd like to look at the account of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. First of all, let's look at verses 31 to 35. And let's take note of the vows that Peter made. Matthew 26, 31. "Then said Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee.
All men shall be
offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all the disciples. That all sounds good, and that's easy to say. Peter vowed that he would never forsake him. He would never forsake Jesus. And let's go on down. Let's keep reading there, verse 36 through 46. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, Even unto death, tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again
and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and saith unto them, Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. First of all, I'd like to look at verse 38. It says, Jesus says, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. You know, how could the disciples fall asleep after their Lord had just told them that? How could they fall asleep when the Lord told them that his soul is exceeding sorrowful? He told them that he has a need. But what about us when we know about a need in a brother's life? What about us when we know that a brother or sister or family is having struggles?
How often
do we fall asleep in our prayer life and we fail to pray for them? Verses 43, 44. And he came back and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Imagine the feeling of rejection that Jesus probably felt when he came back, and he knew what he had to go through, and he came back and he found his disciples asleep. Imagine the feeling of rejection. Then let's go on down to verse 51, and it says, Behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. It says, one of them. It was one of them that fell asleep when they should have been praying.
Sleeping when he should have been taking the
time to make his spirit in tune with God's spirit. But here we see that his spirit was not in tune with God's spirit. He said, this can't happen. And he tried to take control of the situation. Then verse 52, it says, Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword unto his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But verse 54 yet, But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? We see the contrast between the two reactions. We see Jesus, and he accepted it. And he said, Put away your sword.
Was in tune with God's spirit.
He said, Not as I will, but as thou wilt. He had that communication with God. Then in verse 56, it says, Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Again, imagine the feeling of rejection from our Lord. As when the test came, the disciples ran, they fled. When just a couple verses before that, a couple hours before, they had vowed that they would never deny him. Let's go on down to verse 69. I'm going to read verse 69 to the end of the chapter. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying,
I know not
into the
what
porch. Another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Verse 74, we see, or verse 75, we see that Peter realized what he had done. The cock crew, and Peter immediately thought about what he had just done.
It says,
the
Lord
turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered. What kind of face do you picture? What kind of what do you think Jesus looked like when he looked at Peter? He looked at him. Was it a face of sadness and rejection? I believe it probably was. And yet, I believe it was a look of love and compassion for Peter. I'd like to look at this passage this morning. How many times do we fall asleep in our prayer life? Oh, maybe we don't fall asleep during our prayers, but how often do we not even have a prayer? How often do we get wrapped up, we get up late, go to work, quick eat breakfast, maybe we grab our Bible and read a little bit while we eat breakfast before we go to work, and we're too busy to pray, and we go on about our day in our prayer life. In a sense, then when the test of life comes, our spirit isn't in tune with God's spirit. God brings something uncomfortable into our lives, something that we maybe don't want to go through. And we say it can't happen. And we pull out our sword, like Peter did, and we try to fight it. And we say, this can't happen. Or how many times when God wants us to be a testimony for him, he wants us to speak out and say a word for him, but we cowered in the corner. And we flee like the disciples did. We run. Or maybe God wants us to identify with him in our speech or in our dress. He wants us to identify with him, that we know him, but yet we deny him. Temptation in our lives to test us, and we don't have the strength to face the temptation. And suddenly the cock crows. We're going about our day, and the cock crows, and Jesus looks at us with sadness and rejection. But he smiles and he says, I'm here to help you. I want to help you. All you have to do is ask. Take time in your prayer life. Ask for my help. I want to help you. Too many times we go about our day and we forget that. We're too busy to pray. The saying goes, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Turn to Mark chapter 9, another account where power was given. Mark 9, verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway, all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pinneth away. And I spake to thy disciples, and that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came on him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together and rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. And he arose. But Jesus told him, when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. Here we see the disciples could not cast out the spirit, but Jesus said, by much prayer and fasting. There is power in prayer. The disciples tried to do it on their own, and they couldn't. It was only through much prayer that it could be done. In Acts 6, verse 6, 6 and 7, we'll just quick turn to that. Kind of breaking in here, it says,
before the apostles,
and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. We see that they prayed before they sent them out, and it says the word increased. Do you think it would have been any different if they would have just sent them out without praying? I believe it probably would have been. And it says the disciples multiplied. Another reason that we should pray, it brings us peace and joy. We could look at the account of Peter when he escaped from prison in Acts 12. Let's look at that. We're almost there. Flip a few pages back to Acts 12. Verse 5, it says, prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And then jumping down to verse 12 through 17 there, we won't take the time to read that, but it gives the account where Peter gets out of prison. The angel led him out of prison, and he goes and he knocks on the door. And Rhoda comes to the door, and it says, she opened not the gate for gladness. And it brought them much joy to see that their prayers had been answered. And it gives us peace when we know that God will hear our prayers. Proverbs 15:29, it says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. And that can give us a peace if we, first of all, in 1 John 5, let's look at that. 5. Verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. It says we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Notice it says according to his will. If we pray according to his will, we can have peace that God hears us and that he will answer our prayer. Also, God can bless us if we ask. In Luke 11, verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Says to them that ask him. He gives the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. Matthew 7, it says he gives good things to them that ask him. He gives us good things. He wants to bless us if we ask. If only we ask of him. Another reason, I think, is to teach our children. The account in Mark 10, when the disciples, let's just turn to that, Mark 10, verse 13. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that pleased, and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God is as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, and he put his hands upon them and blessed them. I believe there he prayed for them. He prayed with them. They heard him pray for them. And I think it's important that our children hear and see us pray. Pray before meal times. I know often we pray a mealtime prayer, God is great, whatever it might be, and that is good, but I think it's good that they hear us lead out in prayer from time to time, also before they go to bed.
Have them to pray.
Have them lead out in prayer. Also, if there's a special need in your family or in the church, whatever it might be, have them help pray for that special need. And it's good for them to see their mom or their dad on their knees praying. If we want our children to have a healthy prayer life when they grow up, we must start young. We must teach them young. Also, it strengthens our marriage. Husbands and wives should spend time together in prayer every day. It does something to hear your spouse pray, to hear them pray for you, or whatever it might be. Another thing I like to look at is to be a witness to others. Sometimes we can be ashamed to pray in public, especially at a restaurant. And often we try unnoticed. But I think it's good to speak audibly, especially with a family or if there's a group of people. I remember when I was a teenager, if the work crew would stop at a place to eat, and we'd go sit down, and I'm ashamed of this now, but you sit down to pray, you take your hat off, and you sit there, and you kind of rub your head and quickly put your hat back on, say, breathe a quick prayer. I think it does something to be bold. Take your hat off, bow your head, and pray. And it oftentimes can be an example to others. It could even be an example to other Christians, especially youth. Sometimes maybe you feel ashamed or you feel stupid to be the
one to initiate.
But I think it's good to be a positive peer pressure and be the one to lead out in prayer or whatever it might be. Well, in closing, let's be faithful in our prayer life. Let's be faithful in praying for each other and praying for our church and us as church leaders, our government leaders, our nation, those that we have trouble loving. It says, pray for your enemies, love your enemies. And let's be faithful in praying for each other, the sick, the widows, the widowers, for the young people, the youth, the families with children, and the grandparents. Pray that we would be faithful until Christ returns. I'd like to read a poem. It's a song that you probably all know, and I thought it's a very fitting. It's a sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. That calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, may I thy consolation share till from Mount Pisgah's
and take my
flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. Someday we'll see God face to face and we won't have to talk to him through prayer, but we can speak to him face to face. But until then, let's be faithful in our prayer life. And let's not fall asleep in our prayer life. Let's kneel for